coaches in the game, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is got. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another Bowl Call Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by DFS Army and sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. My name is Kevin Allen. I am your host. And with me, as always, the Encyclopedia Footballica himself, Season Long Says. What's up, my man?
What's up, dude?
And the originator of the Bald Call.
That's right. You remember the Bald Call podcast? That was very clever, very clever. But yeah, no, here we are again, DFS Army Bowl Call Podcast. For the last few weeks, what we've been doing over here is getting you involved in strategies for best ball contests. And what these best ball contests are, people are drafting now for the 2021 season. There's no maintenance. You draft your lineup, you have a huge bench, and you go. I mean, these contests go on all offseason long. There's fantasy football is now a year round hobby, year round obsession. And all the strategies we've taught you over the last few weeks for Underdog Fantasy, we're actually going to put to practice now. We've loaded our ADP into the Fantasy Pros Mock Simulator, and we are going to use the same settings they do in Underdog Fantasy, and we're going to slowly take you through each round, and the Geek and I are going to team up and see what kind of a monster team we could draft live on the air.
I got to keep drafting teams all offseason. It's like flexing your fantasy football muscles. They get all soft and they start withering away when you're not drafting. And then, you know, August rolls around and you haven't been doing anything and your friends and family come in and you got to bet, you know, the loser of the fantasy league, you know, has to run streaking through the local minor league baseball team game or something silly. And you lose it because you hadn't been mock drafting all offseason or drafting best ball leagues.
And if you remember, like when we started playing fantasy football 25 years ago, 20 years ago, the only way to get ready for your mock draft was to read outdated fantasy football magazines and then try these mock drafts on the internet that basically people left after the first two rounds, or some idiot picked Tim Tebow with the first overall pick to screw up the draft.
Yeah, remember Yahoo mock drafting? And that's how I'd prepare for my leagues. So one of the great things when best ball came around was I was like, oh shit, for $5, I can essentially do a mock draft where I ensure everybody in the mock is live and cares. And plus, I can, you know, it becomes a best ball team. That was my, when I first got into best ball, that was the reason. I was like, all right, for $5 a league, I can do 20 mock drafts or 30 or 40, but they're real. And so, you know, it's a real good prep for your actual draft. But then, you know, what evolved was, best ball really has a very different strategy and approach than season long. And I hope that we can, than standard season long. And I hope that we can bring that through as we're talking through this mock draft today, kind of like explaining, listen, you know, on my best ball team, I can do certain things because I've got backups on the bench that will step up for my starter if my starter has a bad game. So, you know, as an example, wide receivers being a little more volatile than running backs most years, a couple extra wide receivers on my bench, let them step in for me. You know, little reinforcements, cavalry. When Julio Jones is hurt, got the hammy issues, he's not scoring for your team, you know, you got Russell Gage stepping up in the background. He's like, yo, I'll move to the front lines. Here we go. Let's do this.
Yeah, and in principle, it's the same. You get to learn where the ADPs are. You get to, the strategy is slightly different, but let's put that to practice today. And you know, we got an 18-round draft. It's three receivers. It's one quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, a flex, a tight end, no kicker, no defense, and 10 bench spots. So we have a long way to go. And what I'll do is I'm going to pull up right now the mock draft simulator on the screen. You can, let me see if I can get that up there. So I'm going to add this to the stream. All right, we're picking eighth. Okay, Geek, can you see that on your screen?
Yeah. So, all right, we've got the eighth pick. Very good.
We got the eighth pick. So far in the first, and we won't go, we'll break down carefully the first two rounds, and then we'll kind of just go from there. So you can hear me okay, right?
Yeah.
So Christian McCaffrey went one. Alvin Kamara went two. Surprising there, even in a half PPR. Derrick Henry three. Dalvin Cook four. Devontae Adams, Saquon Barkley, and then Nick Chubb. So we're up on the eighth pick. You and I agree that in a best ball draft, you got to go running back early. Jonathan Taylor sitting there right for us. You and I, every time, we're crushing this pick, right?
Yeah,
Jonathan,
I mean, you know, the ADPs are correct here, and you're seeing you still have a chance at, if you want a Zeke Elliott, he's there.
Austin Eckler.
I don't know if there's any too many other players that I'd be super excited for right here. But, I mean, based on our original discussion of our rankings and all of that, it's an easy choice to go with Jonathan Taylor here.
All right, so I'm going to select Jonathan Taylor. So we have our first running back. All right, so now we're on the board again in the second round.
Let's take a quick look at what the field just did, because I think it's important to know who's coming off the board and who's not.
All right, so at 1-9, Travis Kelce went. Zeke went right after that, and the first round ended with Aaron Jones and DeAndre Swift.
Now, then, Aaron Jones is an interesting pick there because that's a little bit speculative. We don't know for sure that he'll be back with the Packers. I think the hope when you're taking Aaron Jones here early is that he won't be with the Packers. Maybe he'll go to another team where he'll be a featured number one back. But his role on the Packers, I don't think, is deserving of pick 111.
It's in a best ball format where you need running backs with jobs. I don't think it's a terrible pick, because if he's back with the Packers, you know you have a locked in RB1. And if he goes somewhere else, we have to assume he's getting paid and he is going to be featured. So for this particular format, and you were talking about strategies before, your season-long league, there might be better plays than there, sure things at wide receiver. But I'm not going to argue with someone that takes Aaron Jones early, especially in when robust running back. The running backs are going to get gobbled up. They're a little deeper than they were last year, but they're still in short supply.
Always need the best ball last season. It didn't work out to where the early running backs necessarily smashed, but actually the people who won their leagues did get early running backs, even as much as so many of the early running backs missed. Last season, if you got Kamara or
Cook, Henry, Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, or Dalvin Cook in round one, and then brought it back with like an Aaron Jones type in round two, you were massively ahead of the field. Those were the people who won their league. So it still took the first couple. You still needed a couple of studly running backs in the first couple of rounds. There's no doubt about that.
All right, so we're on the clock, and right ahead of us, Cam Akers, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, and Hopkins went. So
I just want to criticize. I would take Stephon Diggs ahead of Hopkins very comfortably.
Sure. I mean, no problem there. I mean, I can understand either or. Hopkins is a perfectly reasonable pick, but we're here to kind of go with what we want. So I think, you know, when we look at our wide receivers, Michael Thomas, Calvin Ridley, and DK Metcalf are the best available. If you want to go tight end, George Kittle is still there, but I still think that the running backs dry up pretty quick. And our guy, Austin Eckler, when he did play, looked like he was everything we thought he was going to be. I would still take him in the first round above Aaron Jones. Are we in agreement here that Austin Eckler is a smash pick in round two, the middle of the round two?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I wouldn't consider Josh Jacobs or, the names on the screen. Joe Mixon would not be a consideration for me here.
Even in half PPR, though, half PPR.
Yeah, even still.
Dobbins is still there. Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, James Robinson is available.
I feel like Eckler is the end of a pretty nice little tier.
All right.
Maybe James Robinson would be next on my list ahead of some of those other names. So, yeah, for me, easy pick with Austin Eckler there. And here we go. Look who fell to us in round three. Very fortunately, James Robinson himself. So
yeah. So here's the quick take on James
and David
Robinson.
Montgomery. Those are both realistic considerations.
Yeah. So and they are for the opposite reasons, right? I mean, in round three, James Robinson really won't get out of round two in most drafts. But here's the case: is James Robinson was a top five running back last year in 2020, and there is no doubt that the Jaguars are going to need to add a second and third running back to the running back room. The question is, who is it going to be? Is it going to be a rookie that they draft in the first two rounds of the NFL draft? Probably not. But do they add one of the free agents that has a resume of production to that running back room? Now, I'm not saying that James Conner, Kenyon Drake, or even Todd Gurley will take over that job. Obviously, they won't. But they could be an annoying committee member which is why James Robinson does carry some risk geek. If the Jaguars sign someone like Brian Hill or Matt Breida, then I think we are, you know, James Robinson easily moves into the first round. So for our purposes, do you want to go upside here with James Robinson, or do you want to take a third running back? Do you want to go David Montgomery here for a little more safety?
I'm going James Robinson here, and I want to throw, I want to explain a little bit of strategy of what's going on. So, and why we're taking so many running backs in the first few picks. Again, going back to what I said at the beginning of this, the best ball format is unique in that the best scorer on your bench is going to be slotted into your starting lineup every week. So, whereas running back, if we start taking seventh, eighth round running backs, we're taking backups, real backups that most weeks are going to get like a four or a two or a zero, right? You're just getting backup guys. And you're taking them at a time when actual starting wide receivers who are going to be on the field are actually available. So the trade-off is either, okay, we could have considered going to a wide receiver there and for the next couple picks, but when we're forced then to fill out a running back spot, you wind up with these backups that you're going to need miracles or luck or injuries in order for them to play. Whereas the wide receivers I can get in rounds 5, 6, 7, and 8, they're still starters. They're WR2s, even WR1s for their teams. So they're on the field every single play. So I like those type of guys because they're more volatile. You saw last year, even a Davis from the Titans.
Mike Davis, yeah.
Not Mike Davis. Who was the Corey Davis? Even a Corey Davis from the Titans at wide receiver. You got him really late, but he was a player who was going to be on the field. He wound up being one of those guys that was in most of the tournament winning lineups, but you got him very late. He was a starter on a team, so you could get guys who are on the field. Maybe they might not be exciting right now, but they have a chance to break out. So that's why we want to focus running back, especially three down backs like James Robinson, early in the draft. Okay.
Yeah, you definitely want to get a volume of wide receivers that those guys that are impossible to predict week to week, the guys that everyone in the DFS Army Slack chat says, hey, should I start this guy or this guy? We don't want in your season. Here's the key difference. And I think you just highlighted it, but I want to underline it is the key difference in season long versus best ball is in season long. You want those wide receivers that you could plug in. And when you have the down weeks, you're not even thinking about benching them. In the past, that was guys like Julio Jones. It's Tyreek Hill. It's Stephon Diggs. It's those type of players, even AJ Brown. Running backs, you'll be able to project a little bit more week to week. Wide receivers are more year to year. So, but in best ball, that's taken out of the equation. So a volume of wide receivers, we never have to guess. All right. So we're in round four now.
Scroll up a little bit though. Let's see who was taken between our last two picks. Let's see who kind of went off the board here get an idea.
And so again, after James Robinson, there was a little wide receiver run, Mike Evans, Allen Robinson, Julio in round three, Kenny Galladay, then the rookie Travis Etienne, David Montgomery, Chris Godwin. Well,
by the
Darren
way, interesting,
Waller.
David Montgomery dropped quite a bit all the way to the fourth round. Great value there. First rookie off the board, Travis Etienne. Is there another rookie running back floating around here? Because
Najee Harris would be.
Yeah, Najee Harris might be the guy I think I'd go with here. I don't like. So looking on screen, I definitely do not like this group. This is the stinky cheese. They're showing right on screen.
He must have gone already because I don't see him in here.
I don't want any of this stank cheese that's showing in front of us right now. So I think we're going to.
Where's Harris? Where did he go?
There, 41. That's who I'm taking right here.
Oh. Najee All right, Harris. Or do you want to pivot over to wide receiver at this point?
Well, we could take a look. Oh, got Terry McLizzles. There we go. That's not a very tough pick either. Where's Amari Cooper's right there.
Yeah, even Adam Thielen, Robert Woods is set up for a good year. I mean,
some talent still floating around. So the choice here is for me, I agree with where Terry McLaurin is slotted. Basically, we're trying to, again, predict that Washington will get a real quarterback. And if they do, McLaurin will be great. I also think Amari Cooper would be a great pick right here. He'd be my second choice for me. What about you?
Yeah, I like Terry McLaurin. He's already proved that when conditions are bad, he could still have a baseline level of solid production. And though we just want to grab a volume of wide receivers, we do want at least one or maybe even two guys that we feel
you'd like
good
to
about.
Have some studs in there too.
Well, let's go Terry McLaurin in round four and see how that works.
Now,
we already
normally,
have three.
So I'm going to say if this was a live draft, I might have gone Najee Harris here. But because
you want to do it and see what happens?
No, because I'm going to tell you why. I want to kind of go by the principle of value-based drafting. Because Harris is showing at such a low ADP relative probably to where he should be, I think we should let it run. I think we should give it another round. In a real draft, if his ADP was that far below where we were drafting, I would wait. I just would not reach that high, even though I think that eventually that ADP will catch up and Najee Harris will go ahead of this little group we're seeing on screen. And just the stinky cheese group here, Kareem Hunt, we know what he is. He's a backup running back. He gets good run, but he's not the only guy. Kenyon Drake, real disappointment last year. Don't know if he'll even be back with Arizona or what his deal is. And Melvin Gordon is the stinkiest.
Well, we know that Melvin Gordon is likely to be suspended for the first few games. I tweeted out the other day, he is a best ball stay away. You cannot take a zero from a fifth round pick in 3 to 4 straight weeks. It's just he had a DUI or something like that in last season, which they're going to adjudicate this season. So he's an absolute stay away. Anything before the 8th round, nothing to do with, you know, his production when he gets back, but you don't want to have empty spot. So we are going to go with wide receiver Terry McLaurin right here. I just picked him.
Yeah.
Our roster right now, let's say once this populates. Again, we're doing a best ball based on underdog ADP.
There's an interesting pick of AJ Dillon goes off the board at 5.04.
Yeah, that's where he's going though. That is where he's going.
Yeah. So I mean, that's going to be really interesting.
And Harris went at 5.3 right before him.
All right. So you couldn't wait on Harris as much as I thought maybe we might have had a chance to, but I do think there's another running back waiting for us in Myles Gaskin and maybe a couple rounds down. My goal in my best ball team is to have 4 to 5 realistically decent running backs on my team. I think the last of them, you know, Gaskin
will have to take him now if we want him.
Yeah, I think Gaskin carries a little bit of risk because if the Dolphins replace him, but I don't think they will. So I would.
How about Kareem Hunt ahead of him? You would take him. You don't like.
No, Kareem. No. I want a full starter. I don't want a Kareem Hunt style player, especially in half point PPR. I can't.
Tight end Andrews and Hockenson are still there. Do you want to even explore those guys right now? Or
no,
Will Fuller, DJ Shark, Juju, T. Higgins.
Let's take a look at the wide receiver position.
Here,
so
it's up.
Yeah, Will Fuller is. I don't know about Will Fuller, actually. DJ Shark, another sketchy one. Tyler Boyd, QB situation problems. Cortland Sutton, Brandon Cooks. So
explain what you mean when you say.
You know what my favorite of this group is?
Explain what you mean, because people are hearing you say Tyler Boyd, QB problems. They say, wait, isn't Joe Burrow good? Explain exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow's great, but when do you come back from your torn ACL? It's supposed to be 12 months. So if he's back even a month early, you're still talking about not being available for the start of the season. So I don't know that Joe Burrow will be available for the start of the season. Right. And you and I always discuss this. If you're not available for game one, by the time you return in game four, you know, you're a little off still. Now you got to wait game five, game six. So we might be 6 games into the season before we see like Joe Burrow at his last season level. He didn't get an off season. He's rehabbing. It's a bad situation for the wide receivers at Cincy. Sorry, Cincinnati fans.
Yeah.
We could be wrong. He could be back earlier. I've seen ACL recoveries faster than 12 months now.
Here's the injury premise is unless you're getting a deep discount, you want to fade injury optimism. I think that really sums it up.
That's fair. And so without the discount, why take Boyd?
No, not just a discount. We want an extreme discount.
We're not getting that. And same with T. Higgins. I love T. Higgins. Great. But, you know, you can't take these Bengals guys without knowing the status of that quarterback. The wide receiver group gets pretty gross. Will Fuller's a good play, except he doesn't have a team. And if he winds up staying with Houston, it's a worst case scenario potentially because it might be Sam Darnold throwing him the football.
Do you want to consider Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, Dallas Goedert, or, you know, just looking at the QB market, Kyler Murray still on the board and Lamar Jackson and Deshaun?
Ooh, I don't mind going for, you know, a Kyler or a Dak here, but in best ball, I'm usually going to wait. There's still a lot of studly guys available and I only want one.
They'll start to go though.
They're still there. There's still that whole tier on screen here is all everybody I'm very happy with if I just get one of them.
Okay.
So let's pass here back over. I think you take Miles Gaskin right here.
Okay, I'm with that. And the other one I was considering is Raheem Mostert really did produce, and Ronald Jones, if Fournette is gone,
leaves. Yeah, he could be playable too. But I think Myles Gaskin is the safest of this group.
So let's go. We're going to draft Gaskin. We're really going to load up on our. So let's look at our roster right now. We have Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, James Robinson, and Gaskin. So I feel pretty good about our four running backs right now. I think we can hold off on running back moving forward for a little bit.
And again, just to be clear, we drafted a bench running back above starters, and that's not something you would normally do in a season-long fantasy football league. You would never do this. But in best ball, if you have four running backs that are all quote-unquote starters, that's pretty much all you need. We need two of them filling out spots every single week. It's an injury heavy position. So for me, looking at the way this team is constructed, and I'm in a real best ball league, what I'd be doing right now is saying, all right, I'll try to get one sort of backup to one of these guys as my fifth running back a little bit later in this draft. And going forward, I'm going to concentrate on other positions. So I'll pretty much, that'll end sort of the running back run for our team for now.
And just as a refresher for anyone tuning in right now, we are doing a underdog style, underdog fantasy app style best ball draft on the Fantasy Pros Mock Draft Simulator. And the reason we're doing it on the simulator versus the app itself is that there's a 30-second timer clock, and we want to be able to analyze and bring you through the strategies. And we urge you to go back and check out the DFS Army Bowl Call podcast that we've done over the last month or so that have been strategies for underdog fantasy. So now we're putting that to practice in an underdog fantasy style draft. And if you want to go play underdog fantasy, the draft start as low as $3. Go download the app, use code DFSARMY when you deposit, and get in one of these drafts with a 30-second timer, or they have longer timers. All right, Geek. So we are now in round six, and all of those QBs are still on the board, as you correctly predicted. Hockenson, we're now into the tier two of, Andrews
was... This might be a spot to start looking at a tight end. There's not that many really good ones left here. They're starting to go off the board. Hockenson...
I'm okay with like Robert Tonyan, even Evan Ingram or Logan Thomas in the next role. I really would like
Logan Thomas is fine. All right, let's look at wide receiver. Let's see who's around.
Yeah, wide receiver, we got Shark, Boyd, Courtland Sutton, Brandon Cooks, Debo Samuel, Devontae Parker, Jarvis Landry is always underrated. It's going to start to get ugly soon, but I think we take a guy who's going to score us the most fantasy points, and I like either Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, or Kyler Murray here, and I think that it's time to pounce and secure our stud QB. Who do you like? I'm sure you like that strategy.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all here. So one thing with quarterback this season that's really important to note is, while I don't like getting a lot of quarterbacks on my best ball league or reaching very early, for example, there is a tier of quarterback that does tend to put up 30 points versus one that tends to put up 20. And Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, really it's Kyler Murray is the best of this group.
I'm taking him right there.
Well, just grab Kyler here, get the rushing upside. Okay. And you start to see, as we did that,
a few of the QBs,
they're all gone. So everybody else was having the same idea right there. Now, you could actually back up a Kyler with Aaron Rodgers here, or there's no one else. Jalen Hurts is available later. You know what?
I think I can wait for Hurts. Yeah, so or Trevor Lawrence, you know?
There's some talent later, so I don't think we need to get another quarterback here. The running back group has gotten extremely thin, although Chase Edmonds is really interesting, but maybe...
No, they're going to add somebody, or Drake's going to reset. I don't trust that Chase Edmonds is going to roll with it. I think we turn our attention to tight end here.
Yeah, I got to get one of these guys.
Yeah, I think Robert Tonyan is undervalued in these... I know he had a lot. He was very touchdown heavy, but there's no reason why Aaron Rodgers is not going to continue to keep his circle of trust small. It's time for in the next round. We'll have to grab all these volumes of wide receivers, and it's going to get ugly. And our wide receiver group won't be great on paper, but I think that we really do need to think about a tight end here. And I would suggest Tonyan, Evan Ingram, or Logan Thomas at this point.
I want to point out here that if we did wait another round, I'm not too upset if I have to go into the season with Tyler Higbee as my best tight end this year. It's a little speculative. I understand that. I also don't mind Irv Smith Jr. as a backup. It's a little speculative, but with Garrett Everett,
Gerald Everett
being gone from the Rams, I think that Higbee will have a chance to shine, but yeah, I think right now you go with Robert Tonyan, get the touchdown upside in a half-point PPR league.
The other thing we could do is, you know, I think that there is a, now that Carson Wentz was traded to the Indianapolis Colts, I think there's a chance that Frank Reich signs or trades some draft capital or, you know, I got to see the exact situation with Zach Ertz's contract, but that was Carson Wentz's guy, his security blanket. And there's
wasn't for the last couple of years. So I don't know. I don't agree.
There's a chance.
Been pretty bad for the last couple of years with the Eagles. He can move over there, but they have a lot of tight ends in the Colts. I wouldn't want that play. I'm not excited by it. Right, I'd so actually rather
Big Bob Tonyan right here.
Yeah, I think you take Tonyan right there, and Logan Thomas is the guy that you think, oh, if he drops to me in like two rounds from now, I might grab him as my backup. One thing about the tight end position in best ball is you need probably three of them. It's a much more volatile position than some of the others. They get injured a lot, and they also don't, they have a lot of bad games. So if you have a few of them scoring for you, usually they can switch up and present like one acceptable player. All right. So Robbie Anderson on the board.
Yeah.
Juice Landry on the board. We got a couple of good wide receivers here. I think I don't like to get the first guy in ADP, but it drops pretty fast from this group. I think Jarvis Landry is my guy here.
All right, let's take him. I agree. He's going in the eighth round of these drafts. Probably should be a fifth rounder, but it just, that's where he's going to go. He's going to go later. So
one thing I want people to note again, note the tiers in this mock draft. It's a nice format that they have over at Fantasy Pros, because when you look at the tiers, they're truly showing you, all right, we just dropped a tier. Like when you only have a few guys left in your tier, that's when you want to pounce on that tier, right? So we just watched the wide receiver group get thinned out.
We customize these tiers to the underdog fantasy ADP. So it really does line up with when you do this on underdog and you go over there and you play their game, these will be very similar tiered to that. Because you can it's using ECR, but we recalibrated it a little bit. Here we go. Say again. What do you want me to do? You want me to scroll up?
If you could scroll up and just show who went off the board in this
Since we last picked, we picked Landry, and then Joe Burrow, James Conner, Corey Davis, Hilton, Robbie Anderson, who we were thinking about.
Michael Gallup is a good pick there, and
Marquise Brown, Judy.
You're starting to get through a lot of talent, and then you're starting even to get through. See, look what happens here with the running back position. This is why I want to say, like, look at 905, 906, and 907. This is why I like to say I'd rather be loading up on my running backs early, because this guy's getting Zach Moss and Benny Snell right now. They're still real Edmonds. Starting players on the board, and some of these guys are, you know, you're taking your Benny Snells. Look at Leonard Fournette still hanging out. There is not a lot of consensus in terms of what.
Do you think we should take him? Do you think we should take him right here, Fournette?
He's probably the pick. I just want to point out here, if we had picked Alvin Kamara, I'm probably taking Lats Murray here. If we had picked Cam Akers, I'm probably taking Darrell Henderson here. This is the spot to back up your first round pick at running back. I don't think there's a real backup for Jonathan Taylor. So
Naeem Hines, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd count him as he's not like a true backup. I don't mind Naeem Hines in a round or two from now, though. But right here, I don't think
those days where, you know, say Taylor is, I don't know, I don't want to say he gets game scripted out because he's not going to, but there are Naeem Hines games. There's three or four of those a year where he's the guy who scores for fantasy. So he's not a bad pick.
We're down on wide receivers. I don't think we have that luxury. And look, staring at us in the face right here is LaVisca Chenault Jr. I like LaVisca Chenault with Trevor Lawrence. You know, he'll burn your food like Florence.
I'd prefer, I mean, I'll go.
Michael Pittman Jr. I don't mind that play either. So, I mean, for me right now, it's a question. I saw productivity from LaVisca Chenault. He'll have Trevor Lawrence with him. Michael Pittman Jr. seems like a player on the ups, and he's got a new quarterback coming in.
And he's presumably going to be the main target in Indianapolis, even if T.Y. Hilton decides to re-sign with the Colts in free agency. I think Michael Pittman, in his 10 targets he received, I know that was Philip Rivers at quarterback, but he received 10 targets in the playoff game. Frank Reich absolutely wants to get him involved.
I'm down with that move. All right,
The stacking with Jonathan Taylor in a best ball format where the prize is top heavy, we're going to go with Michael Pittman
Pittman's fine. I would be interested to have seen if he would have still been. Nope, there goes Chenault. I would have been in, and there goes Fournette. Yeah, he's off the board. So Fournette would have been a nice luxury right there, but What
we're
are you
back
gonna
on
get?
The board again? We're back on the board.
We're back on the board. So let's take a look at our team composition here and just get a sense of where we are right now. So we've got a full roster filled out. We've got one running back on the bench. In best ball, for me, says, I like to have about five running backs. I like to have two to three quarterbacks, two to three tight ends, and then seven to nine wide receivers on my team. Yeah. So here we are. We've got a pretty nice little team going. I'd be happy if this was my season-long team. A little bit soft at wide receiver, but it's made up for by some strength at the running back position. So right now we've got wide receivers to the wide receiver position and group to take a look at. We're going to look at some speculative guys. We could also pop over and take a look at tight end and see what's going on there and see if maybe a backup tight end. Yeah, Gesicki's still hanging around.
And Logan Thomas.
I think I like Higby. Logan Thomas. Oh, and Higby. Yeah, I like all three.
Do you want to play? So do you want to play chicken one more time with that and see if we can get a tight end in the next round?
Yeah, let's see, because there's three of them that I like here. I think we can wait one more round. So some speculative guys coming up here, but what about Cole Beasley? He's just such a good scorer every season. He's underrated. He's with the right quarterback. I say I go for Cole Beasley. No John Brown next year. Let's grab a little Cole Beasley over here. I'm not too excited about Marvin Jones Jr. there. Kirk is very volatile. John Brown, we don't know where he works. Slayton is shit. Jalen Reagor is speculative right now. I'll go on Cole Beasley right here. Lock in some yeoman like points.
Yeah,
I like Darnell Mooney too. By the way, he's a nice little play. There's still good wide receivers all over the place here.
Right, but they're going to get chewed up pretty quick. So we'll go with your guy there. You had said that you want to go Cole Beasley, old and crusty. I'd be a little concerned that Gabriel Davis gets a little bit more involved than Cole Beasley.
We can get Gabriel Davis five rounds from now and cover it all.
Yep. Yeah, I'd like Slayton for a bounce back, especially if Barkley's healthy and Daniel Jones now in his third year, the offensive line gets bolstered. But I think
that's hopes and dreams right there.
Yeah, we're gonna go Cole Beasley. We're gonna add, you know, some safety. We have very boring but reliable wide receivers with Terry McLaurin, Jarvis Landry, Pittman's a little more are on the upswing, and now we added Cole Beasley. Okay, so
my hope to wait for Gabriel Davis three rounds from now has been dashed as he was taken.
Yeah,
in this round, so
his ADP. In the drafts I've been is actually ahead of Cole Beasley.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, that's speculative. Mm-hmm. Right, here's another speculative situation. So again, the tight end position has not moved. It hasn't budged. No one wants to take anybody tied to Tua. And right now, Mike Gesicki is tied to Tua.
But we don't want to be tied to Tua. We like Evan Engram or Logan Thomas. I think it's now time to add our tight end too. If you want to take a quick look at quarterback. Wait.
Remember when people were tanking for Tua? Now we're avoiding being tied for Tua.
Tank for Herbert.
I need to find a T word that replicates the word avoid, like
trade for Tua. Tua.
Trade for Tua. We want to trade away Tua. All right, forget it. I can't think of a word.
All right, so look at the QB situation before we hit tight end. We have Jalen Hurts. I think
that's my dude right there, and he is hanging. Don't even hesitate.
How about Stafford though? Stafford's
great. Brady's great. Give me the rushing upside of Jalen Hurts over all of these guys.
Don't you think though? There is a chance though that by week six, Jalen Hurts is not the quarterback. I'm saying if we're drafting best ball today and you're putting your hard-earned cash in, the Eagles pick fourth. The Eagles are known to collect quarterbacks. I think there's a 15 to 25% chance that the Eagles draft a quarterback.
I'm taking that risk. I don't care.
Okay. We'll go
Jalen. The rushing upside. And Stafford is fine by here, and so is Brady. And I'd love to get a bargain on Hurts, but give me the rushing upside quarterback every time. I'll take him here. No worries.
All right, so now let's reveal. Let me review the team real quick as we move on. So we've taken two quarterbacks. I think that you're mostly comfortable with. I don't like the volatility of Hurts in this format, given that we're not going to get another quarterback. But we have our two QBs in Murray and Hurts, and then we have our four running backs that we feel really good about. We're kind of populating our wide receiver position with a volume of guys. We do need another wide receiver, and we have one tight end in Bob Tonyan. So what we're going to do now is look at the tight end position. I think it's time to either take Evan Engram or Logan Thomas. Do you agree? Or we can go Tyler Higbee, your guy.
I'm down. I would not take Evan Engram, but Logan Thomas and Tyler Higbee are basically the plays right here. There's still good tight ends on the board, and you want more than one good tight end. Tonyan is not going to be consistent enough. Between these two, I guess we'll go Logan Thomas because he's such a volume guy.
Do you want to play chicken one more time, Geek? One more time.
Let's see what's available at wide receiver. I don't like
Missouri Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell. I think Nelson Aguilar is a sneaky good play in the 12th round.
He also could be, you know, he could be pushed out of a job. He's a volatile play. There's a lot of good
volatile plays.
Tight end here. There's no wide receiver that I feel I need to reach for right now.
Volatile play is okay in best ball because you're going to get those weeks. And it was Nelson Aguilar who led the team in receiving yards and led the team in touchdowns. Obviously, Darren Waller's side is a tight end. He was the wide receiver that had the most production. He was the wide receiver that was the spirit of that team. There was reports that surfaced that Nelson Aguilar would go into that locker room and demand better from his teammates. I mean, that's the type of guy that John Gruden and Mike Mayock are going to want to re-sign and get him the football. I think that you could do I think that Nelson Aguilar is probably appropriately ADP'd, but I think that he is a sneaky good play, him or Paris Campbell in this range.
I mean, there's no one else I like here, so on screen. So just be aware that Nelson Aguilar may not have a job. Like, you know,
I disagree. I think there's yes, he may not. He's not signed yet.
Yeah.
But I just can't see a situation where the Raiders let him go. So how do you want to play it?
I'm down for Aguilar. The rest of the group around here looks really sketch, and I'm totally fine with it. We can either grab a tight end here. I might grab a tight end and just see what's up. I need to reach for him, but
go Logan Thomas here. Yeah. Logan Thomas.
All right. By the way, if Higbee's there the next round, I might go Higbee on the next round. Okay, and fill out the three tight ends with three good guys that can really potentially deliver quality scores.
Okay, so, he is here. Let's just do it. We're going to go right. We're going to speed through round 13. We got Higbee. So now let's review. So
other considerations, by the way, just for people who are going to be drafting these, I think Irv Smith is a perfectly fine pick. Hayden Hurst is fine. If you go down, Hooper, Blake Jarwin's a bit of a sleeper for me.
And Chris Herndon. If, you know,
No.
New coach.
Undraftable.
I'm not sure about that. Chris Herndon, let's remember, really sparked in his rookie year and then gotten Adam Gase's doghouse, and it was over from there. I still like Chris Herndon.
This idea of a doghouse, I don't know. I think it's speculative, and so you have to assume that he's just not a pass-catching tight end. We haven't seen it in multiple seasons.
Yep.
I don't believe he is one.
Yeah, I still like him as a volume tight end play, meaning you're collecting a volume of tight ends, but there's still other players on the board.
Yeah.
Looking at our roster, we are good on tight end at this point. I think that
we're gonna fill out now with wide receivers and maybe a backup running back, and that's it. We are in the final stretch here. And
Gus Edwards is on the board at pick 14. Mark Ingram has already been released. J.K. Dobbins, we know, is going to be the star of the show, but I think Gus Edwards is always in play for double-digit touchdowns. Yeah. He had 7 last year. I think this is an automatic hit for Gus Edwards, a guy that can be in our lineup when bad things happen to our other running backs. Do you want to add him as a depth?
Hold down a little bit. Let me see if there's anybody else that's waiting in the wings.
No. He's the last of the guys with an actual role.
Yeah, it gets really gross after that. I'm fine with Gus Edwards right there. Fill out, take the back.
Especially in half PPR, you know, where we're not relying on the pass catching, because as we know, Gus Edwards only had 7 receptions last year, and that is probably the max he'll get. We're now looking over at our wide receivers. We have Denzel Mims, Breshad Perriman. The team has made indications they want to sign him. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is like a really good best ball player because you're never going to be able to predict the weeks that he does well, but those weeks that he does get his 3 catches for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns, you absolutely will get it. Is he somebody that you want to consider in this format?
In the format, yes, but not here. I think the play is Denzel Mims. I think the right guy is at the top of the list here for us.
Mims it is.
Second year. It seems lame to take the top guy in the ADP, you know, but like we're not doing anything. But the reality is, second year wide receiver, new quarterback, new coach, could take a step up. So that's a spot where I don't mind being a little speculative. And I thought he looked the part last season, even if the team that he was playing for was pretty shitty.
So just to review, we have 5 running backs now. We have Jonathan Taylor, Eckler, James Robinson, Miles Gaskin, and Gus Edwards. Our wide receivers, Terry McLaurin, Jarvis Landry, Michael Pittman, and then we added Cole Beasley with Denzel Mims. So we have a balanced roster there. We could do anything we want. I want to just take a quick look with our last three picks, who the quarterbacks are. I'm a little bit more nervous than you are about job security for Jalen Hurts. So I wouldn't mind right here getting
Trevor Lawrence is still available, you know?
Right. Like, well, that's what I'm saying. I want somebody with job security. So Lawrence, Goff, who does have job security, and we're only going to get
I don't want that smoke.
All right. So why don't we choose
a great play here too. He's just an injury guy, and I have a bad feeling about Roethlisberger not making it through.
So let's go Lawrence. Let's get a little Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I'll go for a little Lawrence, but consideration would be Ben Roethlisberger and probably Daniel Jones as a consideration in that spot as well.
All right, so Lawrence is on our team. We have two picks. Obviously, these two picks, since we did something that we usually preach do not do, which is three quarterbacks and three tight ends, if you're going to go at that onesie positions, you usually want to only get three of one of them, meaning if you're going to go three tight ends, you go two quarterbacks. If you're going to go three quarterbacks, you go two tight ends.
Realistically, we didn't need the quarterback there, but if you look at the wide receivers that went in that round, no one wanted a wide receiver, so it wasn't like – is Jakobi Meyer still available? Is he gone?
I could search him, but
If he's not showing on screen, then he'd be gone. So just looking through the ADP, we're going to have to scroll down here and find us a gem. So for all intents and purposes, when you take a look at the wide receiver position right now, and let's just pop over the wide receiver. I think he's gone. Okay. If you pop over to that, Randall Cobb, not exciting. Breshad Perriman, not exciting. Washington, not exciting. N'Keal Harry, no. Van Jefferson, meh. And so we're really going through some players here that I'm not in love with. So this is where I want to start to consider kind of jumping around and grabbing some of our
Quintus Cephas. We have Marvin Jones. He's not going to resign there. Kenny Golladay may or may not get the franchise tag. There's some rumors that even if he gets tagged, he'll be traded. Cephas has got good speed. He might end up being a pretty good best ball player. I know Jared Goff is the quarterback there, but if you don't want him, I mean, there's some good rookies here like Rashad Bateman, Terrence Marshall.
Yeah, where are my rookies? Where are the guys, the Jamar Chases? Those guys are way gone.
Yeah, those guys are going in you know, the early rounds. If you want some like Bateman is definitely going to be
Traquan the Chef Smith.
Who?
Traquan the Chef Smith.
Okay, you want to go with Traquan?
I mean, I'm just throwing a name out there of a guy that I think will have a role for his team.
Traquan Smith, here he is right here. So you want to add him? He could, you know, listen, he showed well at times. If Jameis Winston is the quarterback, I mean, that seems like the type of player he would force the ball into there. We can add him.
It's less exciting if it's Taysom Hill.
All right, so let's take Smith right there.
We're in a pretty gross part of the draft here where, you know, I am seeing that you kind of run out of good-looking wide receivers here right around this area.
Last pick of the draft. Let's creative. Yeah, last pick of the draft. Let's find someone that we
let's get a sleeper that we really like. Keep scrolling.
How about our guy Kemp Sims?
Nah, he's so boring.
Quintus Cephas, I've mentioned him a couple times. You want to take a rookie with Bateman?
Keep scrolling down. Let me see if there's anybody who pops off the screen here.
Colin Johnson on the Jag showed well, maybe with Trevor Lawrence.
Don't love. Jalen.
Oh, how about this?
Jalen with the Chargers.
Amon St. Brown, he's a rookie that will probably go in the late first round of many 1QB rookie drafts. That's Equemia St. Brown's brother who's gonna have better draft capital than Equemia St. Brown.
Where's he projected to be drafted? I want first and second round draft.
Yeah, he'll be a second round. I would guess that St. Brown will be a second round receiver in the real NFL draft.
All right, so last season it was T. Higgins who was the last pick in your draft if you were making a championship.
Let's go with
Amon-Ra St. Brown here to round it off with a speculative rookie. We don't know where he's going to land, but we take a chance.
We got a C from Fantasy Pros, which is good, by the way. You never want to get an A because that means you just went by projections. You don't want to care about their grade. So, but
final look at the team here. So, more importantly for this breakdown was the makeup of the team. And when you do a couple of these drafts, you start to get a sense of, all right, like, in hindsight, because I think wide receiver drafted dried up just a little bit sooner than I thought, number one, really need to consider grabbing those rookie wide receivers with the last couple picks. And they're going to be speculative, but especially early, if you catch the T. Higgins type guy, or if you even catch, you know, any of these rookies that kind of do decent, like a Michael Pittman this past season, or who are some rookies that did well last year? You know, remind me, beyond Higgins, obviously a Justin Jefferson was amazing. Pittman was okay. You know, CeeDee Lamb had a nice year, I would say. So if you grab one of these guys, now the CeeDee Lambs and the Justin Jeffersons went a little high, but the T. Higgins types, they didn't. You were able to get them with the last pick in your draft. So that's what you want for the last couple rounds. Hopefully fall onto a rookie wide receiver.
Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk was available very late last year in best ball leagues as well.
Oh, yeah. He was a you know, a 15th round.
And he had a great year. I mean, you know, he had some duds with Ruggs and Rager. Yeah. I would say Jerry Jeudy was a bit of a dud, but I think Jeudy
he was good. I just think it was the QB situation that really, but yeah, ultimately for fantasy, he was a dud. I am just pulling up my, here we go. I'm just looking at if we just in case we missed any of the receivers. Brian Edwards obviously was a dud. Mims didn't produce. Pittman, we talked. Oh, Chenault, we have him. We're going to have him on a team. Justin Jefferson, Lamb, Jeudy. Yeah, those were the Chase Claypool. We forgot about Chase Claypool.
And yeah, Claypool was great. So, I mean, so if you grab Chase Claypool with your last pick last season, you probably smashed your league. So these guys, I think they're very speculative, but that's who you want to be getting on in the last couple rounds rather than the James Washingtons and the Golden Tates of the world that have absolutely no upside and are just basically going to turd up your lineups and not do anything good for you. So you might as well, again, trying to win a league, trying to win a tournament, reach for the upside with those rookies. And, you know, Sez will have a list of, you know, our NFL pre-draft rankings and post-draft rankings are all going to be posted on DFSArmy.com under the season-long fantasy tab. So
I'm doing
we'll have rankings on all of those guys.
I'm involved in a mock draft right now, a rookie mock draft, which I will is inspiring me to get our pre-draft rookie rankings up. So those are going to go up in the next week or two. Just a preliminary list, top maybe even just the top 24 rookies for your dynasty rookie drafts. Those will be up in the DFS Army draft kit shortly.
There we go. So that was it, guys. This was basically kind of a strategy and overall view on how to draft a best ball league for 2021 and in general how we do it. This is exactly how, by the way, all my teams go down. I almost always tend to take four running backs within the first five picks. Last season that wasn't a massively successful approach because you had so many injuries and there was a real stinky cheese group that
if you landed on a landmine like Barkley or CMC, it was over before it started.
Early and even mid when you had the Gurleys and the John Connors and the even the Melvin Gordon, so he wasn't too bad of the world, but they were going in the third round and that was probably way more than you wanted to pay for those types of running backs. And last year there was just a lot of injuries and a lot of late round pick running backs that emerged, like the Antonio Gibsons of the world, who I love and I don't think is going high enough, by the way.
And Dobbins, Swift, all those guys. So why don't we wrap here? For those of you who were following along today, thank you, especially those in the chat room who were active. And we just want to say that was a Underdog Fantasy. Go play the app. It's the best way to play best balls. Underdog Fantasy. It's the Geek and I just did a simulated draft using all of the settings that you would use on Underdog. So if you're just tuning in, you can go back and listen to that now. Just hit rewind on the YouTube video. Remember to go to our YouTube channel, also at DFS Army. Like, subscribe, join. You'll get notifications when we go live. And we're putting up a ton of content, not just for DFS. You guys are killing NASCAR. You guys are killing MMA. But if you're a year-round football guy like we are, you'll get all our football content as well.
Here we go. Bulk calls, baby, all year round.
Okay. Just in a minute or less, tell them how to sign up for DFS Army Geek.
Yeah, of course. Most importantly, go to DFSArmy.com. You can sign up as a VIP, get all the daily fantasy sports coverage we have, every single sport. Says, do you know that we placed two of our members in first place together in this week's NASCAR contest? Each won $56,000 on an $11 entry. That doesn't happen by accident. We're smashing the niche sports. I did a live show with Brady Miller, who's one of the NASCAR goats that we have. And he, you know, of course, on the show, he's like, he throws out I'm taking Bell at plus 700 odds to win. He's my long shot pick. A lot of people tailed that bet. He ends up winning the race, and the people who watch the show slap Bell into their lineups. Two of them, 56K winners. It was amazing. So we've got all the sports going right now. MMA this weekend. Everything. Go to DFSarmon.com. You sign up as a VIP. Use promo code SEZ, S-E-Z, and that gets 10% off VIP. VIP covers all sports, our chat. You get everything. We're even talking NBA Top Shots in there. We've got investment chat. So we are degenerate gamblers, and we are talking about money making. Get in there. Join the community. We all help each other out. It's really awesome. So love DFS Army. And if you're not a member, you should be. Go check it out. We also have a season-long membership as well, just for NFL. If you just want the draft kit and you're just here for the season-long fantasy football stuff, we have that. It goes a whole year. So 12-month period. So, you know, you get the whole season and you can get all of Sez's rankings, best ball rankings, pre-draft rankings, rookie dynasty draft rankings, super flex rankings, PPR rankings, two tight end rankings, every rankings you could possibly think about, and then some. Some you didn't even think about. Got them all.
Cool. And just one last reminder, again, thanks to our sponsor over this last month, as we did a complete best ball strategy partnership with Underdog. And then again, we practiced that strategy today. So go over and check them out. Our friends over there, Underdog Fantasy, great place to play best ball. Use code DFS Army. And when you deposit, and you'll get that $100 guarantee, satisfaction guarantee. All right, Geek. I think we did it again.
There we go, guys. Until next time, for myself, Kevin Allen, and my man, Season Long Sez, we'll see you next time with more Bold Calls.
Got the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be